Good morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
Gone to pray together now, but I want to say that from time to time, those students who are close to our church and left for college, they come and we welcome Maria, and Lara is always with us, and she is right here, and I hope that more of you choose a college right close by to the church. I'm selfish, but that's the way I like to do it. And welcome Camille from Europe, and now together with Dr. McCormick, welcome back to town. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful that we have the opportunity to pray in the name of Jesus, our high priest, and elevate our prayer not because we are worthy of, but because he, our high priest, will take our prayer into the very presence of God. Thank you, Father. Lord, we are grateful that you open the door for us to worship you and to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus, so that many will see Jesus as the mediator, the savior, the one who takes our life and brings us clean before the presence of a living God. Lord, we are grateful for our missionaries, and I'm grateful for the improvements you have done in the life of Fred and Carol Lewis, who are here in Oregon. And they are ill, and he is ill, and they are waiting for the total recovery. For Carl and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, for Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga, Spain, for David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, for Giovanni and Barbara Avendano, for Marta Paretti in Buenos Aires, Argentina, South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the motorsport ministry, as Daniel is finishing the year today in Laguna Seca here in California. Father, you have been very wonderful to Loretta Forrest. And as I visit with her, I see the strength of the Lord in her face. She's confined already for 2 years to a bed with cancer in one leg, but she's happy. Each time somebody comes to help, she shares the gospel, and they have to listen two or three sermons before they leave. So, Father, what a wonderful evangelist we have in San Jose, which is in bed, but have loved you all her life, and we thank you for that, Father. We pray that for your comfort and your peace to Paul Ortiz Sr. in Puerto Rico. We know, Father, the tragedy that happened a week ago, but now, Father, we pray that you comfort his heart, that you strengthen him, and as he listens to our broadcast and as he move on in life, that he be thankful that Paul Jr. knew you as Savior. Gracious God, by your providence, we live and work and join in families. And from your hand receive those things we need, gift on gift, all free. We thank you for the harvest of goodness you supply to us daily, for food and shelter, for words and gestures, for all our human friendships around us. Above all, Father, we praise you for your Son, who came to show mercy and who names us his own brothers. Glory to you for the great kindness you show to us and our children and children's children. And Father, as you have provided for us, now we come to the moment that we provide for the ministry too. So we pray that you bless the giver and bless the offering. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 668. We will be reading Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he that beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have made provision for the greatest need in our lives. That is for a right standing with you and the salvation of our souls through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the tremendous privilege of having been adopted into your family as joint heirs with Christ. Your mercy never ends. We thank you for placing us in this nation. We thank you that you have ordained governments to rule and protect and to keep order. We pray for our country that we would seriously turn to the traditions and the laws having their foundation in your word. We pray that you would bless your servant, our pastor Gabriel Otero, as he comes to bring the truth and wisdom from the scriptures. May we benefit by applying what we will learn today. We pray for those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, and also and particularly for any who are yet in unbelief, that they may understand and believe and follow the Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. In his name we pray, amen. Would you please be seated?
Will you please turn the scripture to Romans chapter 13 that our brother have read for our meditation this morning? For a brief time, I have prepared two sermons on the Bible speaks to the issues of our time. And last Sunday was our celebration of our 23rd year of church. On the first Sunday of the month, I spoke on the Bible in our changing world. And we saw substantial evidence that the scripture holds news for tomorrow, like the famous verse in Isaiah 40:22, that God sits on the circle of the earth. I was sharing that with some people that called and some emails that came. And I want to tell you that idea escaped from the mind of mankind. And some people die in the 1100s because they thought the earth was not flat. And at that time, the church thought that that was really a blasphemy before God. I wonder myself, what kind of book do they read? Certainly, they don't read the Bible. And the text was not obscure. It was in the book of Isaiah, a very famous prophet. But that's the way it is. God maybe hold that until the year 1492, when Columbus discovered Santo Domingo and the Dominican Republic. And if you ever have a vacation time,
I encourage you to go to Santo Domingo and see that beautiful house that Columbus built for his brother and then for himself, and especially see those gold coins, heavy gold coins, half pound of gold, each of them, that they carry on there. It's just beautiful. And stamped it is 1495, the year that they built that. Now I want to talk to you about an issue that is really serious. And I want you to, because I know some of the people here are very politician in this church, and some people who listen, they are very, very Republican, all right? So I put it just straight. I want you to hold your opinion of my sermon until the very end, until God makes a very end on the paragraph, because God speaks by paragraph, and you should hold until the end, because he makes some commands that you maybe disagree, but you will see why he made it in this scripture, all right? So the Bible is not silent about the issue of government. Through the scripture, the people of God have struggled with their relationship to government. This is no new. Before Israel became a nation, and you have read Exodus chapter 1, they suffer as a slave for 400 years in Egypt. Before they possess the promised land, the Israelites have to fight their way out against other governments who were in the land. Palestine was subject to Rome when Jesus was born. The early Christians somehow have to make their way in a day when few of them have political freedom. And I will say, I will count it with my hands, one of them was Paul. And you recall the incident when they're going to strike Paul and say, hold it, I'm an American, I'm a Roman citizen. Okay? Roman citizenship was like American citizenship was 20 years ago. Now, don't say I'm an American in Europe now because they don't care. God's will for Christians is to find their place in society under the rule of government so God can be glorified. That's why I entitled this sermon, The Bible and Government. Now, open your Bible in Romans 13 and we go verse by verse. Here is what the Bible has to say about living in freedom under authority. Now remember this, living in freedom under authority. If it's no authority, you studied this in your school, in high school, is anarchy. So living in freedom under authority. There are three things I want you to learn. Number one, that the Bible teaches that we need to submit to government. Secondly, the Bible teaches that we need to obey the authorities. And number three, the Bible teaches that we need to agree with the government. Now, after I say that, look into the scriptures. Why? All right? Number one, submit to government, verse 1 and verse 3. Here is in verse 1 the command first. Let every soul, that qualifies everybody, Americans, Italian, Chinese, black, yellow, green, whatever color is your skin, let every soul be subject unto the word higher powers. There are many words for the word power. This is not the word dunamos, who speak about power. This is the more exousia, which speak about authority. And so the Bible says the command is be subject. Hupotasso means to put under, really, be subject, submit yourself under the control of authority. That's very important. That's the command. Submit yourself under the control of authority. Now, what is the reason for? Look in verse 1. For there is no authority, when the word power is there, should be read authority. No, there is no authority but of God. And the authorities that be are ordained of God. Exousia, authority. The authorities that they exist are ordained of God. In other words, every government is instituted by God. I'm going to read a verse for you that saved my life in Nicaragua in 1980. When the revolution was there, I have an open door to go and work into the seminaries and into the places there in Nicaragua. And finally, the rebels under Ortega thought that I was causing an internal revolution in the jails where I was preaching. Because every jail have a sign outside, freedom under God. And they thought, they, you know, the unbelievers don't understand what that means, freedom under God. They said, they must have a door someplace called God, and they're going to all escape at once. And so they called me to the hotel. I remember they took us with Raquel to a place, and the Commander Ortega was over there and other leaders, and they said, you need to explain to us, what is Ortega to you? Is Ortega right to be in power? And I had no hesitation. Turn your Bible to Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, page 519. Page 519 in the book of Daniel, in chapter 2 in the book of Daniel, you will find the answer to that. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20 and 21. You remember there was a dream, and Daniel needed to interpret it, or he will be dead. And he did interpret it. And so the king Nebuchadnezzar said, man, you, all the magicians of my kingdom never, never have an idea. And you are the greatest. You, man, are the greatest. And I think Nebuchadnezzar was ready to make Daniel God. And Daniel in verse 20, chapter 2, and I think I said page 519, chapter 2, verse 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God, and he used the word Elohim, forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Now look at verse 21. And he changes the times and the seasons, you know, autumn, spring, summer, and winter. God does this. He changes the time and the seasons. He removed kings and set up kings. So it said, Commander Ortega is here because God wanted. Oh, the next day, we bought the newspaper. I heard, Pastor Otero said, Ortega's okay. God wanted. And they gave me three radio broadcasts, the only three radios they have. And they asked me to stay another week to preach every place I want to about submission to government because God wanted. All right? And I tell you, that's the reason for the command. You obey authorities, not because they are good or bad. You obey authority because God put them there. Now, there is a warning in verse 2. Let's go back to Romans chapter 13 and verse 2. There is a warning. Each time you see in the Greek language a word anti means against it. And here it is. For rulers, the word ruler is the word chief, like prime minister. Bible doesn't have, only two or three times had the word president, but the Bible have a lot to say about prime ministers. For prime ministers are not a cause of terror. The word terror is there, but it's written in the causative verb, which means the prime minister of a nation is not a cause of terror to good works, but to the evil one. In other words, there is a warning. And the government is not for bad, but to the evil one. And look at what the text says. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the authority? Do what is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. I'm going to share with you a family talk with my wife as I drive. Or I'm driving, whether it's in a freeway or in a street or whatever, and if it's a police car over there on the side, my wife will say to me, police. assuming that I'm exceeding the speed, all right? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. So I'm okay, I said. Why? Because I'm going at the speed Mark posted in the street. And it's the law, they said that you are entitled, you have the right to drive at the speed, it's always is safe, said the book, at the speed that is posted on there. So I looked at the police, I smiled, all right? And that's what the verse says. There's a warning. Don't try to oppose authority. They are friends. You don't have to be afraid of them unless you oppose them. So submit to government by the commandments in the scripture. The reason is I put the government in that place. And the warning is don't try to oppose that government. Now, because see, who put the government and who take away the government? God. Remember? Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. God. All right? I think what the scripture is trying to say to us, don't try to be a judge and say, this is a good government, this is a bad government. Government, and you will see it in a minute, are for a different function. They are no bad or good. God put it there for order. You have another function in life, the government. All right, number two, verse 3 and 4 says you need to obey the authorities. Verse 3 and verse 4. Here it is. Governments encourage good behavior. Look at verse 3. For rulers are not, or chief prime ministers are not a cause of terror, a cause to be afraid, to good works. All right? Governments are designed to regulate proper civic behavior. That's what it is. In New Jersey one time, I was driving and I saw police car once in a while are on the highway 90 over there or 95. And one native of New Jersey told me, oh, they are there and when you see them, you slow down. They encourage you to slow down. And if you do not slow down, then you get punished. So government encourages good behavior. First, because a government is designed to regulate proper civic behavior. And that's what verse 3 is so fantastic. It says, for rulers are not, the prime ministers are not the cause of terrors to good work, but to the evil one. Secondly, because the authority granted by God to the government is to punish evildoers, not good people. Look at verse 3. It says, thou then not be afraid of power. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. And I want to tell you, one time, I don't know if this policeman was okay or not, but he praised me for my driving. You know, they were checking drunk people here in Morning Hill, and I was driving with my belt, everything right. The policeman pulled out and said, I'm going to put this sticker here. He said, you are a good driver. I said, well, he got me in the right day. All right. And I had a sticker that said, police officers, Morgan Hill Institution, proud, sealed. I park in any place. The other day, I park over the street. I sell like this, or they sell like this in Oakland. I can do anything I want with my car. Said, put it in Raquel's car. It's a police car. All right. I drive good, they said. So this text is good. Look at this. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise from them. In other words, police are not looking for details against you. They are. They wish that everything goes well. So you need to obey the authority because government encourage good behavior, and I agree. And then government supposed to carry, and here is the trick. Here is where Christianity comes into the picture. According to verse 4, government supposed to carry out God's purpose. So let's look to verse 4, please, together. First, look at what God said to government. For he is government, is the minister, the deacon, the servant of God for thee for good. Well, wait a minute. You mean the government should come to the school and ask all the children in the school to read the Bible? Yes. That's what the government's supposed to do. You mean the government should come and really tell the people, you need to go to church and bow before the God of Abraham, Jehovah. Yes, that's what God created government to do. No secular government. God's talking about government under his control. And verse 4 says, they are the servants of God. They should go every home and say, you're in home now? Come to church. Boom, boom, put it in the car and drop it in the church. They are the servants of God. And they should say, we're going to follow the Bible. And this city of Morton Hill will live under the rule of the Bible. This is it. And people said today, oh no, that's religion. But where do you get the government from? Well, we elected. How do you elect it? God has placed the government. But it's far from that. Is that right? They don't want prayer in the school. So they have vandalism and sex and all kinds of misbehavior. No prayer. They don't want to read the Bible in the school. Oh, that's an old book. That will confuse the children. They will not like to teach science with the Bible and read Genesis 1 and said, God created the heavens and earth. Oh, no, that's too stupid. Those things came around just because they came around. I tell you, this verse 4 qualified the paragraph. Yes, we obey government. Yes, we submit to the law. But the government has to submit to God and do exactly what God said. Now, some of you are studying in high school American history. And some of you study American history with American authors of history. We foreigners study American history with foreign people like French and Germans who wrote books about America. And most of them agree that America was founded because they want a government where God controls them, say a German out. And perhaps some of them were that way. Some of them came to this land to say, we want to be free, not free from authority, but free from evil so that God can bless the land. And God did bless the land. Do you see the qualification? Follow God's law. Government also punished the wrongdoer. Verse 4 said, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he bear not the sword in vain. For he's a servant of God. Again, servant of God. A revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. In other words, the government that God established, it was a government that first and most need to obey God. I wrote a little note in a nice car, cost me $7, to our governor. And I copied these two verses. And I asked him, what these verses mean to you, Mr. Governor? Because I vote for you, and I don't know if I'm going to vote again. You know, that's true. I want him to answer this. I don't care if he gives the teachers 10-week vacation or 1-week vacation. I don't care about that. I care what he's going to do with God. Are we going to read the Bible in the schools? Are we going to establish a society afraid of God? Because one day we're going to give an account to him. That's what God gives government. So that you look to the government in such a way that he trains you to look up to God. So that by looking to God, then you become saved and know God as Savior. Far away from that, don't we? Even people criticize because when 9/11 happened, Billy Graham spoke in our cathedral and he prayed. And you need to pray in the name of how many gods? Only one, Jehovah. That's what the Bible says. That's what we have a government. And they criticize our godly president because he prays. More than that, the newspaper Mercury have an article, of which I have a copy, who said it's dangerous president because he prays and he believes what he prays. I laugh. I said, dangerous president. It's amazing. I have it. You see how far America is from God? And imagine when you go to other countries. And God have not that in mind when he established government. God has in mind that a government will guide you into the godliness and healthy life that God has provided through the guidelines of the scripture. Amazing. The Bible and government. Submit to the government, obey to the authorities. Remember the famous passage in Acts 4? They got John and Peter in jail. remember? They got them in jail, and they say, listen, fellows, the report here is, the police report is, that the whole town in Jerusalem is filled with the message of Christ. They did a good job, two guys without microphone, without telephone, and without cars and anything. They did a good job. And rather than saying, we are proud of you, they said, we told you not to mention his name. And Peter, now empowered by the Spirit of God, he stands, remember what he says? Who should we obey, man or God? And they were ready to go, and they came a lawyer into the court, and the lawyer said, send these guys out, please. Let's have a close talk with close counters. He said, leave these guys alone, because if this is not of God, we'll go away. But if it's of God, we'll stay. And the court agreed. And how blessed we are. This happened 2,000 years ago. So he's of God. He's of God. Obey the authorities. Now the authorities need to obey God. Finally, agree with the government. Verses 5 to 7. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 5. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Now, what is conscience? The British dictionary said, not violating what you know to be right. That's conscience. It's a chip, a computer chip in your head that God put at birth to tell you what is right and what is wrong. And conscience helps you not to violate what is right. And you know when you do wrong. Nobody has to explain it to you. So agree with the government by not violating what you know to be right. All right? If you owe some money, what is to be right? You need to pay it back. Yeah, your conscience tells you that. All right? If the speed signs say 55 or 65, we should drive 55 and 65. That's what it is. If we don't like it, then we should write to the congressman and modify the law. That's a different story. But that's what God says here in verse 5. We must agree with the government and be able to have a clean conscience that we are doing what is right. I don't have to tell you. You don't have to tell me. We know it. Because God has put this divisor in our head. So agree with the government by not violating what you know to be right. Do you know that Christians are the most violating this? When I was in radio, I got calls after calls after calls of people who said, Pastor, can I divorce? I said, you're a Christian? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. You agree the Bible is the Word of God? Yes. Well, read it. And tell me in 2 or 3 months what you read. So what do you say? You know what the person is looking? Is looking somebody who says, oh, yes, you can do it. I said, I don't say anything because I'm not the authority. But God is. Will you read the entire Bible? You mean the entire Bible? Yeah, if you're going to take an action so serious as divorce, if you're going to break a heavenly relationship, because the Bible says every marriage is done by God. If you're going to break that, you better read the manual to find out how to do it. So I go to a lawyer. No, that lawyer don't know anything. No, but I go to a specialist lawyer. They don't know anything. San Jose, there are three specialist lawyers. How to get divorced happy is one. How to get divorced and get the most is another one. Go in the internet. It's fantastic. And I called them and I said, do you do this with the Bible? Oh, no, sir, no, not with the Bible, they said. Amazing. What do your conscience tells you? What is right or what is wrong? The conscience tells you. You don't have me to endorse you. You don't want my endorsement. Who is Gabriel Lutero? Nobody. You don't want my endorsement. You want the endorsement of God. And the endorsement of God is right here in the Bible. You know, people, the Bible will guide you. But you have to read it. God doesn't wake you up in the morning, I have a new commandment for you, let me tell you what you do. No, 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 that doesn't happen. You have to read it. You have to read it. And you find it. agree with the government by not violating what you know to be right. Secondly, oh no, I'm going to get that. Some of you are going to get upset. By paying taxes. Look at verse 6. I know. I'm glad I'm preaching this not on April 14. I'm glad. For this cause, said verse 6, I have to change some of the words so that you see it. For this cause, pay ye tribute. Tribute is foros, is an annual tax, 28% annual tax. Read the book of Leviticus. Pay the annual tax also, for they are God's ministers, God's servants, attending continually upon these very things. Pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. I disagree with it paying this and this. I agree with you, maybe. But we have to change the law before we say we don't pay taxes. We have to pay taxes. All right? All of you pay taxes. If you are an employee, you have your employer pay taxes, employee pay taxes, the one who is a contractor pay taxes, everybody pay taxes. And God said, that you have to do because the government need that money. They are servants of God. Continually, you got that word continually. It means year after year, you have to pay taxes. And we agree with the government by paying taxes. Maybe you don't agree. Well, move from this state to another state who has less taxes. And people do that. They retire and they move to other states. There's less taxes for this and less tax. But you're still paying taxes. Whatever that state tells you, you pay taxes. Agree with the government. Verse 7, agree with the government by holding them in honor. Render therefore to all their dues. And look at what? Tax to whom tax is due. Custom. Custom is an overcharge. It is an indirect tax on good. We call it in America sales tax. And Israel was no custom tax until the Romans came in. And as you walk through the gate, the Romans say, oh, you walk through here. What do you want? I want to buy these shoes. Now it's sell tax. The Bible called it an illegal thing. The word custom is an illegal tax. But you need to pay it because the law established. I wonder if I can do that when I buy things and tell the guy it's illegal and I don't pay it. Honor to whom honor. You got that one? Honor to whom is all. All right, agree with the government. You have to do that. You have to pay your taxes. You have to be watching, no violating your conscience. And you have to honor those who are above you. Now, that's a tough thing to do because most of us, we agree or disagree with the government. But the Bible doesn't talk about agreeing or disagreeing. The Bible said in order to be in order, you have to do this. That's why I encourage all of you to study as lawyers and one day become senators and judges and things like that. Then, especially senators, then you can end the Congress. You can really force to change the law. Now, this is an actual sermon. We do have a lady who is qualified to be our superior judge. And everybody is against her. Not because of her record, there is no record. Not because of what she wrote, there is no writings. Because of what she believed. They found that she was a Christian. And Dr. Dobson, poor Dr. Dobson, who one time had a phone conversation with her, the court wanted to subdue him into the Congress to see, what do you talk to her? Do you talk about divorce? What do you talk to her? Well, I thought the phone is a private conversation, but they want to do that. And they want to believe, what do you believe about abortion? Well, the court has to talk about what is her qualifications to be a judge, not what she believes in a personal manner. But the main issue is because she is a Christian. This is how ungodly is United States Congress. Republicans and Democrats, completely ungodly. ungodly. And we need you, young people, to study as lawyers. And I vote for you even from my bed in the hospital. I tell you, we need to get young people into the place where they can think with God. Then my question when I finished studying my sermon, I said, well, what a mess we live. God wants us to do this, to obey this government, and our government is really bad. What should we do? The answer, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 to 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 to 17, page 714, if you are using the Bible here. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers, or as aliens and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, passion, which war against the soul, the inner man, having your behavior, conversation, conduct, honest, honorable among the Gentiles, that wherever they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works or good actions, which they shall see, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now listen to this. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be of the kings as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cover-up of maliciousness, but as the servant of God. And here comes, honor all men. And you honor people by not speaking bad about people. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. That's the theme of our church. Love the brotherhood. Fear God, not the government. Fear God and honor the king. I thought that this scripture is so good for us Christians to hold it in mind and to hold our mind very clear that we should not criticize those who are in government, but rather make everything possible to elect people. That's what election is so good. To elect people that will uphold God's principle in government, to elect laws that will uphold God's principle in government is so important. So please, we have an election coming up. Read the booklet. I read it and I read it wrong. And as I made some consultation, I learned some thought that were wrong for me. So just consult with people. Think, how these honor God? How is these proper to honor God in thee? Is this proposition honoring God in what sense? It doesn't matter if he's a Republican or if he's Democrat. If he's good, if he's honoring God, we should vote for. If he's not, we should say no. Because we are under the submission of God Almighty. I tell you one advantage that we have. We are in a free country. How blessed we are. You don't know how blessed you are. I remember the first time I came to America and I was walking in the street and I saw a police car and I stopped like that. And people said, come on, no, police. Because in Argentina, my time on Peron time, police car with a machine gun and watching everybody. You made the wrong move, you're gone. I can't believe it, how free I was. I can't believe it, how free I was. Let's use our freedom with intelligence under God and under authority. Thank you, Father, that you have given us a book to speak about everything. Thank you, Lord, that in this country, America, we do have the power to make sense. We do have the power to read and see what propositions are put before us. We do have the power to read and see the backgrounds of people before we vote. And we pray, O God, that we vote according to you, according to the conscience that you have given us. O God, help us to live in freedom under the authority. Help to honor the police chief, the mayor of the city, the governor, and the president and the Congress. But help us to see what is good and what is bad, and help us to do everything is possible to change it for good. And when all is done, we're going to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus we pray, amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miran. Will you stand for the benediction, please? Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.